In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This week's Gospel reading picks up thematically where we left last Sunday, and that is with the fate that awaits the Son of Man. Jesus is now beginning the long journey south that will eventually bring him to Jerusalem. He passes through Galilee, the scene of his public ministry so far, but does so quietly. He avoids public notice to concentrate on what is now his chief task, the instructions of his disciples. And this is where we find ourselves today. Jesus is once again instructing his disciples. And he is instructing the disciples on the fate of the Son of Man. That fate, of course, is that he will be given into human hands, be killed, and rise again after 3 days. Unlike last week's reading, none of the disciples asked Jesus about what he is saying, as they were all too afraid. I wonder if they were all remembering the rebuking that Peter got last time. While the disciples half understand what Jesus is saying, doubt and misunderstanding still make it easy for them to say nothing. Instead, they prefer to cling onto the exciting prospect for their future that being a disciple of the Messiah, in its conventional understanding, was seen to entail. They want to know who is going to be the greatest among them in the coming kingdom. They still hold, to some degree, the image of Jesus as the Messiah who will build up the nation of Israel until it can overcome its Roman occupiers and set them free of earthly oppression. They must think to themselves, surely Jesus the King will need advisors, leaders and deputies, and ask themselves who of them this will be, as they have been travelling with him for a while. However, nothing could be more counter to what Jesus has been attempting to teach them. Hence their guilt, half-knowing silence, when Jesus questions them in the house in Capernaum. Before we go on to Jesus' reply to their discussion, I wondered if you've ever thought about the ages of the disciples. Up until the end of last year, I'd never really considered this question myself. However, I was at an event I was running for work, and the speaker we had made the statement that Jesus' disciples were most likely between the ages of 13 and 30. So, during Jesus' life, his crucifixion, resurrection and ascension, it's likely that some of his disciples were still teenagers. Now, there's some supporting evidence to this, such as Jewish culture and Matthew's gospel around paying temple tax. So I think when we consider the disciples' age, it should be no wonder for us that they are arguing about who will be the greatest. Who doesn't have this conversation, filled with the dreams of doing great things while they are young? I think that we can see in today's gospel Jesus reacting in the way he deals with this instance to the age of the disciples. Jesus responds by taking the position of a teacher, which was common among rabbis, and sitting down, summoning the disciples around him, and starting to teach. I'm sure many of you, like me, can still remember as a kid sitting down on the mat and having a teacher explain something to you while you're all gathered around them. And this is what Jesus is doing, gathering his young disciples around him, thinking to himself, how do I get it into them, the real message I'm trying to share? And Jesus tells the disciples, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Then he does something that at the time would probably be unthinkable. He wraps his arms around a child and makes an extraordinary statement. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Now for us, this might not seem like a major statement or action by Jesus. But in the ancient world, while children were precious to their family, outside the family, they had no social status or value until adulthood. For Jesus to welcome a child would be turning all prevailing values and social understandings upside down. This act asks the disciples to put aside their self-importance and stature. That, says Jesus, is what the disciples must practice. In so doing, they will be welcoming him, and not only him, but the Father, who stands behind his entire life and mission, which is not one of dominance and being served, but one of service. And this service is destined to come to the great supreme service of giving his life as a ransom for many. We can't exaggerate the significance of the gesture of divine identification with a child. This identification challenges the disciples' understanding of messiahship. It also challenges our understanding of God. Is God to be thought of as a kind of extraterrestrial ruler to whom nothing but fear and service is due? Or is the God revealed by Jesus a God whose primary gesture towards human beings is that of one who serves, one who comes among us in the guise of a child? Jesus' act of wrapping his arms around the child in the presence of his disciples is more powerful than any word could be. This action expresses the preciousness of every human life in the sight of God, no matter how small or how insignificant. We, like the disciples, can learn from Jesus' actions in this gospel reading. In the last century, the church as a whole has lost our status and honour which we have held in the past. We have entered a new age in which the church is not built into the fabric of society. An example of this is an experience I had earlier this year when I visited our local fish and chip shop in my clerical shirt. And in talking with the owner's daughter, who is at university, I was asked what I did for a job. When I replied that I was an Anglican priest, she looked confused and didn't seem to understand what that was. We as the church must now meet Christ as a child, one who holds no status or power or social standing in society. And the pain that goes along with this loss of status and honour is perhaps akin to the experience by the disciples of Jesus as they struggled both to hear and understand what he was saying. Amen.